Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today as co-host is Chris Rossini. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Chris, we're going to be talking today a little bit, you know, about the socialist challenge that we're seeing and hearing about in the Congress and who's providing the best defense against it. But before we do that, I wanted to make sure all our viewers saw the results of the poll we did, the Twitter poll, having to do with the FBI. So why don't you catch the viewers up to date on what we did and what the results were?
Right. After, I don't know if it was before or after the Roger Stone arrest, but we put out a tweet poll just asking a simple question, would you abolish the FBI? And we got 18,000 votes, and both Dr. Paul and I were surprised to see that 65% were in favor of yes, abolishing the FBI. We, before we put the poll out, thought for sure it would be the other way around, but at least that's the sentiment out there from Ron Paul fans.
Yeah, and I think that was before that magnificent FBI arrest that we all witnessed, and probably the numbers would have been higher. But Chris, you're right. I didn't think there'd be that many people skeptical of the FBI. So to me, that's healthy. But also, I guess we have to concede that there may have been some of our friends that voted, you know, but that means that, you know, 18,000 is significant. I see others permit them sometime when they have a lot less people voting. But anyway, I wanted to, you know, make that point that that people, you know, should be skeptical of the FBI. And I think it's going to continue because, boy, I'll tell you what, it's out of control and it's related to that Mueller investigation. But today, Chris, I wanted to talk about how well are the Republicans doing in defending free market delivery of medical care and free markets in general against those avowed socialists that have taken over the news media. There's not a ton of them in Congress. There's a lot of sympathy. But the young people that have gone to Congress now, they're socialists, and they declare that. And there was a time when not one person would declare and win election to Congress by running on a socialist ticket. So I'm interested in, you know, getting people to think about how do we best defend our position on liberty under these circumstances. In the little bit I've watched on television on the conservative stations, I haven't been too impressed. Because it doesn't seem like they distinguish between what we have and what free markets might do in their defense, of free markets and of capitalism. And I think hopefully we can contribute something to how this debate should evolve.
Yes, and the first step is to correctly identify where we are right now, because most people are, they're boxing against shadows. This week I heard Elizabeth Warren say, what I believe is capitalism with serious rules. And it struck me so hard because she realized where we are today. There has never been a bigger government than the U.S. federal government ever in history. Just the Federal Register has 60,000 pages of fine print in regulations. People have problems, and we have problems too, with the financial industry. But the last I checked, there are 40,000 financial regulations out there. And it's not as if government just hangs out in the background. They've racked up $22 trillion in debt and made promises that they're never, ever going to keep. The problem is not that we have capitalism without serious rules. The problem, I think, is we don't have capitalism at all.
Yeah, and she did this by, I think, softening her stand by antagonism toward capitalism. Yeah, capitalism's okay if we have more rules to regulate it. It made me think when I heard that comment by her on what generally occurs with the Federal Reserve. And conservatives and the system of government we have today is hardly capitalism. You know, they don't talk about the Federal Reserve and they endorse it. But what they do, though, is if there's a problem with the way the Federal Reserve manages monetary policy, which it's impossible for them to know what to do, how much money is necessary, and what the interest rate should be, what they do is they say that there will be problems, it will be imperfect. We need more rules and regulation. And if you look back all the way back to the Depression, the SEC, and when they had problems with Enron, and when they had the housing bubble collapse, and then we had Sarbanes-Oxley, and we had Barney Frank's bill. They said, we can fix this with more rules and regulation. I think your point is well taken. That does not, solve the problem. But, one of the biggest thing, although we're talking about socialism in general, what gets attention the easiest, because it's the easiest sell, and that is deal with medical care. How can anybody ever say they can't have all the medical care instantaneously and never have to pay for it if necessary? And you can't do that. You can't argue anything else other than getting the criticism that you have zero compassion. You don't care. You don't want people to get taken care of. And we've been accused of letting the people die in the streets, which is completely false. And I never liked that, because I practiced medicine before we had Medicare and Medicaid. And there's a lot of generous care for people, a lot more generosity in voluntary, charity hospitals. Nobody was dying in the streets. And yet now people are more bitter over this capitalistic system of medical care. That's where the fallacy is. When the Republicans and the conservatives now get into this debate, they don't challenge the system. They say, well, don't mess around with this capitalism. We want to pick our doctor, and we want to have our insurance company. And it's not that way. We have a government-run medical system. We have a VA type of system evolving. So I think, once again, it's defining what we have to make the difference, because as long as the people who want to challenge the socialists say that they want to defend the system we have, and I tend, when I get into debates like this, I tend to say, you're right, this is a mess. Poor people aren't getting good medical care. It's very expensive. We have corporatism is what we have. We have the big corporations running things. It has nothing to do with free market capitalism. And it costs a lot of money. It's very, very expensive. And what we have to do is challenge what we have and agree with the socialists. It's not a good system, but not go along with more of what we have. What we have to do is show that there is another alternative, and that's free markets.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And there's a reason why Republicans are so weak against the socialists, because, I hate to say it, Republicans are closet socialists themselves. They may not want to admit it, but if they support the military empire that is socialized destruction all over the world, they definitely support the Federal Reserve. That's a socialized monetary system. They specifically say they won't touch Medicare, Social Security. So Republicans are very weak. They use rhetoric. They appeal to the people that still have a sense out there for limited and small government, but it's all just talk. Once they get into office, they out-Democrat the Democrats. And I think the young people may even see they prefer the honesty. The Democrats are in your face and will tell you that we are socialists. Republicans, they dance around, and they really are not much different.
Yes, and I want to refresh our memory about how they pass a prescription drug program, because it makes that point. And that was passed with a vote that took the longest vote that I ever witnessed, maybe even in the history of Congress, especially for me. It went hours and hours and hours. The vote came like at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and went to 3 in the morning, twisting arms and breaking arms and doing everything, threats, and it was really, really a bitter struggle to get that one vote over to pass it with a very, very narrow majority. Prescription drug program, who wrote the bill? The drug companies. And so the liberals and the socialists have a point, but they don't make it point that way. They use it as an excuse and say, well, it isn't good. They use what's happening now as the reason to go another step towards socialism and have a one payment system. But they don't say, well, You know, these rules are written by insurance companies. They're written by the drug companies, the health management companies. It's financed through debt and inflation. You know, all these things in gross distortion. And that's why I don't think we can win the fight against the socialists, you know, playing on a humanitarian instincts, unless we clarify that and show that, you know, that they can't. They can't just lie about this and get away with it and say, you know, it is bad. But I don't think it works when you say, it's not so bad. I mean, we still have capitalism. We still have drug companies. I heard some people the other day and say, what, they're talking about getting rid of our insurance companies. Well, this is not insurance. I mean, even insurance, there's some things insurance companies don't like. They have to have rules and regulations and prior conditions, and they set prices. Ultimately, it totally fails. And yet, the socialists are going to use this to move it. You hear it all the time. One party say, you know, one payment system. And that, of course, is much more closer to total socialism. But, you know, they use medicine because people can get sympathetic. They're more compassionate. They say it's a humanitarian. But I call it a gateway drug for socialism, because you work on medicine and you can get your foot in the door and say, ah, see how all these wonderful things are that we do. And yet it isn't true. And I think that we can't win unless we point out that the contest on the surface right now is between corporatism and the people who want socialism. And it shouldn't be there. It should be between interventionism, which would include corporatism and socialism and fascism, against the free market. But unfortunately, in Washington, you don't have many vouching for free markets, which is really the solution to so many of our problems.
Right. Dr. Paul, I'll finish by on a bright note. You know, I believe that people that have that burning flame of liberty in them, I think the opportunity is coming for us, because these socialists, they're going for broke, literally. Think about these ideas that they're putting out of 70% taxes, 77% estate taxes on, you know, they start with the wealthy to sell it, but it goes, they don't end with the wealthy. So they're going for broke. This is a time to speak the truth to everyone. You know, there was a time when Dr. Paul would say that the founders never imagined Americans paying 50% of their income. Well, they went right past 50%. They're closing in on 80. So the time is to tell the truth to people, because capitalism, free markets, it's on a respirator. And a socialist, they're ready to pull the plug, but they don't have to if people stand up, speak the truth, and perhaps liberty could shine again.
You know, they try to avoid the problem of paying for this, but they do admit that they have to do something about it. So you tax the rich, you know, tax the very, very wealthy, and you're going to collect it. So they are coming up short. There's a report just out that 63 out of the 75 largest cities in this country are really bankrupt. They can't pay the bills, their contingency funds, the pensions, and their medical bills, the whole work. So the country is really bankrupt. And so that's why, you know, in spite of the fact that they say, oh, it's okay, it's not too, there's no problems with it, but we just need to tax people more. So what they're doing now, of course, is they're going to tax the rich. But the truth is, whatever they do, even if they continue to do this, you cannot take the tax burden away from the middle class. And you say, oh, no, they don't. Half of the population, they don't pay any income tax. But ultimately, they pay the price, because there won't be enough money to collect from the people who are working. And therefore, they will print up the money. And then you will have inflation, you will have the recessions, you'll have something worse than we had in 08 and 09, where the people lost their jobs and lost their homes and lost their mortgages and all these things. So I am convinced that if we don't clean up our act, the middle class will suffer. Now, there's people starting to recognize this. The socialists are. There's social discord now. There's a contest going on. But why would it be when the economy's so healthy? Just look at what the stock market is doing. Well, there's a group there. I concede with the liberals and say there's a group still suffering and having a problem. But it is a consequence, once again, of too much trouble. And the middle class are already suffering from the cost. And they say that they're very, very low percentage of the people in this country who can withstand, you know, a month of no income. Just look at the hollering that occurred when the government closed down and they didn't get their check. Well, we're out of money. We're out of money. So it's a bad situation, but ultimately, the wealthy, no matter what tax bracket you put them in, you put them up to 90%, you just chase the capital out of the country. It's foolish to think that you can do that. And then you destroy, you know, the productivity of the country as well. So it will fall on the middle class, and that is the challenge. But right now, I don't think we have a good voice when we hear these arguments on television on how we have to stop the socialists taking over medical care and everything else, because they don't define the difference. They don't designate the difference between crony capitalism and corporatism and free markets. I think that's an important job, because free markets depend on the moral principle of individual liberty, and that's the key. Some people might think that's overly simplistic, but it really isn't. It may be simple, but it's totally ignored, because liberty is very vital for people to have incentives and to produce and take care of themselves, and is a better system than anything else that ever existed. So it's a moral principle of individual liberty. And when you forget about that and say it's a collective idea, it's the humanitarian aspect of the whole country that we have to deal with. So everybody has to pay their fair share, and everybody has to be forced in. And of course, this is what Obamacare was all about. And it didn't work. It's a disaster. So now they're trying to tell the people we have to move the next step. And, it wasn't quite total socialism. So, but we have to make the debate crystal clear, because there's a big difference between authoritarianism and liberty. And this program that we put on is dedicated to the cause of liberty, and fully believing strongly that is the road to peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.